SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
The next generation of Ray-Ban Meta is here. The Wayfarer Gen 2 AI glasses, now at Harvey Norman. Capture life hands-free with an ultra-wide 12-megapixel camera shooting bold photos and 3K video. Enjoy open-ear audio for music, calls and podcasts while staying aware of your surroundings. With Meta AI, get answers, capture content and navigate your day using only your voice. Plus, enjoy up to 8 hours of battery life. Ray-Ban Meta Wayfarer Gen 2, starting at $598 at Harvey Norman.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, nearly $200 billion wiped from the boards of the ASX since the start of the war in the Middle East. Global central banks prepared to meet next week, and is a wave of inflation set for Australia? All of that and more next. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 13th of March, 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, but only just, the 200 down by 0.1%. That's despite persistent worries about the war in the Middle East and the impact on inflation. We'll have the details with Zoran Krecevic from Blueberry in a few moments. He'll put the recent market volatility into context. But first, the US Fed Reserve will prepare to meet to discuss interest rates next week. So too, the Reserve Bank of Australia, which begins its two-day meeting on Monday, with the market pricing in an 80% chance of a rate rise. That's up from 20% earlier in the week. The war in the Middle East adding to existing inflationary pressures. But one economist warned me, next week's rate rise could be the first of three more. That's in addition to the February move, taking the cash rate of 4.6%. I spoke with Morgan's chief economist, Michael Knox, to find out why.
Well, there's a lot of stimulus in the Australian economy, as well as a lot of costs that we're going to be hit by. Firstly, there's the stimulus, strong deficit stimulus being provided by the federal government, and that's happening at the same time as a rise in Australian export prices. So in terms of the federal government stimulus, we know from MyEFO, of course, that there was a cash deficit, underlying cash deficit of $36.8 billion, almost like real money, 1.3% of GDP. And that's providing a stimulus to the economy at the time. And we've got full employment. Our examination of the data on employment since 2010 is that the trade-off between unemployment and inflation really does show, as the RBA has said, that to get the RBA target of 2.5% inflation, you really do need to have unemployment at 4.6%, which is, and in our presentation, we have a nice little chart of that. And that means that if you're going to get 2.5% inflation, as the RBA wants to, we have to have higher levels of unemployment, unfortunately. So at the time of this government's stimulus and full employment, we've got a recovery in Australian export prices. Natural gas, coal and copper are rising in price, and that's going to generate higher incomes in the Australian economy. But we've also got higher costs. And what we've done is separately is some detailed research on the impact of electricity prices on Australian inflation. And there's been a small movement of about 0.4% already included in the CPI. But what we've found is that there's a very significant knock-on effect to electricity prices. Now, electricity prices have gone up by 32.2%, retail electricity prices, but we haven't got the bills yet. And what's more importantly, there's a whole lot of small businesses around Australia that haven't got the bills. And we find that when that happens, there's a significant, as we say, knock-on effects as businesses, large and small, pass on those higher electricity costs in higher prices to their consumers. So after a lag of 4 to 6 months. So on top of that, now we've got the high oil prices and high fuel prices from the Iran war. And so we think there's a wave of inflation that will soon be crashing upon the Australian economy, and only the RBA can save us as the wave falls upon us. So we think that the RBA will have to increase rates at least three times to 4.6%, beginning, of course, next week.
You mentioned those higher oil prices. To what extent is the war in the Middle East influencing your forecast? Or were we headed that way anyway because of domestic factors?
We were headed that way anyway because of domestic factors. You've got that exactly right. Particularly the knock-on effects of the 32% increase in retail electricity prices. That was really important in our modelling because... But what's really interesting is that when we actually modelled it, we found that it begins to hit about 4 months after it happened. So it only really begins to hit the Australian economy in the middle of the year when firms are passing on the cost of that 32% increase in electricity to all the little, you know, the bakeries, small businesses around the countries and the large businesses that use electricity as well. So that's the problem. It's a lagged effect, which hits us really in the middle of the year, and that was going to generate a higher inflation anyway and higher rates.
That's Michael Knox there, the chief economist at Morgans. Let's go to the Australian share market now, which did fall 0.1% today. So tumbling after more than 4% at one stage on Monday, the ASX 200 recovered a little to end the week 2.7% lower. But the war started just as the index hit a record high in late February. So since then, it's tumbled just over 6%. If we look back to the start of the year, despite the shock to the global oil markets, the share market since the start of 2026 is down just 1.3%. So to take the pulse of the investment community, Stephanie Youssef spoke with Zoran Krisovic from Blueberry.
Markets have been actually pricing this narrative that this war is not going to last too long. And on the back of that, we've actually seen kind of muted moves in ASX and global markets overall. And despite the fact the market actually got sold off quite heavily earlier in the week. But nevertheless, I would take this at any point in time. I still think we're actually favorably looking over the past few weeks. And as long as this war doesn't continue and it doesn't escalate further, then we might be seeing the bottom of it. I do have to raise that, you know, seeing such market circumstances where market does actually reach an all-time high and then retraces, 10 to 15% is actually very normal. And we have actually seen that in the prior years as well. So as long as it can hold around 8,400, I think we should be okay. But again, it's yet to be seen. And I'm sure there's going to be more news over the coming days and weeks.
As you mentioned, if it does continue, how bad could it get? Like, should investors be more worried in terms of factoring that in just in case it does keep going on?
Absolutely. The implications could be quite big. We see that obviously there is an energy supply shock happening across the globe. As we understand, 20% of the crude oil and Brent oil does go through the Strait of Hormuz. That's been an issue that's been going on for the last couple of weeks. And the big question is, how long will this actually last before it gets resolved? Obviously, day by day, hour by hour, week by week, the longer it takes, it's going to add a level of volatility in the market. As we have actually seen over the past few days, markets have actually been to somewhat volatile. Volatility index has reached at its peak around 32 or 33, which normally does raise concern around risk of sentiment, geopolitical risk, as well as, poor investor confidence. And it can actually play on people's minds a lot. And as a result, we might be able to see some of those, hedge hedges or commodities that generally tend to perform well in this sector actually be of interest and appeal again.
So tomorrow marks 2 weeks since this broke out. How is all of this playing out on the markets? And do you think are there any companies that are being more exposed?
Absolutely. I mean, we can see the NSX 200. There is one particular sector that's been actually doing exceptionally well, and that's energy sector. So if we do have a look at it from 1st of March up until now, energy is being up around 13.9%. We've also seen some additional sectors do actually quite well, but that's a separate topic that we can touch in a little while. But overall, some stocks like Woodside, Santos, Ampol, they have been actually the darlings of the market right now. So if anything, I think investors are actually starting to diversify a lot. They're trying to de-risk as well. And we're actually seeing quite a bit of flow coming through in this particular sector and these stocks in general. Material has been one of the sectors that has been outperforming as well, specifically on SX 200 in the past couple of months. However, we are seeing risk off prevail at the moment as some of those commodities have been actually sold off for a number of reasons.
The Reserve Bank meets next week. What are the markets expecting there?
Big topic of discussion as we speak right now. I've just actually had a look at the money markets prior to this catch-up and interview, and I saw the 80% chance that we will get the interest rate hike in the month of March. Now, if you go back a couple of weeks back, the market was actually pricing less than 50% that we will get the interest rate hike, and in fact, actually, it was more so prolonged for the month of May. However, money markets are actually pricing potentially 3 interest rate hikes for the remainder of 2026. If you go back to 2025, when RBA was actually cutting 3 interest rates and forecasting another 2 interest rate cuts, this is actually a massive twist in the monetary policy from RBA. What are the reasons for that? Well, number of implications. One, obviously, we've got a fairly tight labor market in Australia. That's number one. We've got low unemployment. The economy isn't actually even running at its full capacity at the moment. And very lastly, we've got the shock in energy supply disruptions that are going on across the globe. We know that petrol is part of the headline inflation, and it's a volatile item, but we do understand as well that there is oil reserves are running at 1.2 billion of oil reserves across the globe. Market is about to actually release 400 million that's going to go into the market. So we've already got 1/3 of oil reserves going into the market. If this war doesn't end very quickly, then we could be seeing Brent and crude oil about 120. That could add a level of inflation across the globe, including in Australia. And on the back of that, markets are pricing 3 interest rate hikes for 2020. As a result, we've actually seen the banks, or in fact, top 4 banks, flourish today and gain around 1.5% as the net margins would increase, and they would actually go well into their profitability.
Finally, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and where are the opportunities?
When talking to clients, we talk about volatility. We talk about positioning yourself and potentially some of the risk of sentiment that's actually prevailing and driving the headlines at the moment. We just touched on the RBA, doing monetary policy tightening and raising the interest rates. Aussie dollar on the back of that has been absolutely star performer currency in G10 currency pairs. And as a result, Aussie is probably one of those good choices. Specifically, if looking to do a carry trade and offset Aussie against some of the lower interest rate currencies such as Japanese yen or Swiss franc. Alternatively, if you're an equity person or investor and you're looking to actually put your money in equities and shares, then energy sector, whilst it has a lot of volatility, should still provide some upside. And we've actually seen that with Woodside and Santos. Ever since the war was announced over the past 10 days, both flourished 10 to 12% respectively. Lastly, if you're looking to hedge yourself and defend against any further escalation in the global war or global geopolitical risk, then as always, gold and silver should be something that you would be looking at or on your horizon as well.
That's Zoran Krisevich there from Blueberry speaking with Stephanie Yusup, and he wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Click subscribe and we'll chat next week.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Ready to level up your world? Get the MetaQuest 3S, available now at Harvey Norman. With a lightweight and wireless design, you can transform any room into a theatre, playground, or hangout spot with friends. Enjoy lightning-fast load times and improved battery life, and the power to blend virtual objects with your physical space, so you can experience two worlds at once. MetaQuest 3, starting at $498 at Harvey Norman.
Go!